It was an interesting day yesterday for sure, Sue. But praise God for the mercies of God. Because we all have days where, well, I have days and you obviously have days. Where we struggle. I'm going to say something, and I want you guys to think, just leave this in the back of your head. Christians suffer from TPW syndrome. We're going to come back to that. The Bible's pretty clear in Matthew that you can't serve two masters. The truth of that is an absolute truth. Regardless of what the world will try and do to move that point of truth off, it is just true. There's two people you're going to serve. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve yourself. And serving yourself is serving the devil. And you start off by default in the camp of the devil. I mean, you start off as a baby serving yourself. Everything about your existence is to satisfy that flesh need that you are exhibiting at any given point. And it is by screaming and wailing and carrying on that you get whatever that is satisfied. And most people never actually change. Yesterday, when I was having my talk with Sue, it was sort of funny because I was trying to stay very calm. You know, wasn't going to raise my voice. But in my head, I was taking my office chair and smashing everything in the office to little pieces. That's where my head was at. I was just so livid internally that I just saw myself just absolutely having a temper tantrum, like to end the band there. That's a phrase. I'm just making stuff up now, but I knew that was not going to be productive if I were to do such a thing, because that was me reacting in the same sort of letting the flesh have its way as I was watching her go through her struggles. But in those times, you have a choice. You're going to serve what is right, which is to serve the Lord, or you're going to serve yourself. And serving yourself is always the wrong choice. It's absolutely the wrong choice every single time. This morning I woke up to an email from Steve regarding some stuff that had lapsed on the website. And, you know, my first reaction was, not one of, oh, I'm so glad he pointed that out. My first reaction was one of the flesh, and I chose to put that aside and say, no, that's, you know what, that is not productive. That is the wrong way. That is not what's right. You know, that first reaction we have often is really the wrong one. I say that. And that's going to be true if you're most of the time in the flesh. I mean, the whole goal is for that not to be the case. Not that you will never feel, you know, some pull or tug or thing from the flesh to have you go in a wrong direction, but that you more and more and more, you just give it less and less space because you know that it's just not productive. It's not right. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And there's no flavor of situational ethics that's going to change that. I mean, when I was growing up in school, you know, the big thing was right is right under certain circumstances, and what's right here may be wrong there. You know what? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Now, the world wants to really remove those lines, but it's just the lines are there. God put them there. They're there. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And right is to serve God. Right is always to choose God. And wrong is always to choose yourself. If you can wrap yourself around that, then when things do come up and that emotion hits you or that feeling hits you or that, you know, attack of the enemy hits you, because really what Sue was struggling with was, yes, it was herself, but the enemy was trying to drive a wedge between us and trying to cause all kinds of problems. And because she was not aware of it, not paying attention, it took hold for a short period of time. And if she had had her eyes on the Lord and had recognized that sooner, it would have had less of a hold, and it would have been less of, because I watched the whole thing build. I've been watching it build for the last couple weeks. You can't serve two masters. The whole lesson there, Sue, is you can't serve two masters. And it's not your master's job to serve you. And that lesson for her towards me is the same lesson that I have towards my authorities in the Lord. You know, a big part of Timothy, if you go back and listen and read it, dealt with the line of authority and what was right. What was proper? What was true? And it's not right for a wife to try and usurp the authority of her husband. It's not right for her to be mouthy. It's not right. It's not right for a child to usurp the authority of her parent, of their parents. It's not right for a child to be mouthy towards her parents. It's not right for a man to be mouthy and try and usurp the authority of their authorities in the Lord. You know, for a man, that's being a striker. What did we learn about that? These are things that ought not be. When it comes to what's right and what's wrong, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen? Let me get over there. It's Galatians. Let's see here. Excuse me. I'm trying to find this exact. Yeah, here it is. All right, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now we know what these are, right? Because we, it's not because we know them because we read about them. We know them because we do them. And that's to our shame. The works of the flesh, that is the fruit of the flesh. You see how that works? The fruit of the flesh is pride. And these are all the manifestations of pride, at least in short form. There's lists throughout the rest of the word. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. There's a big one right there. Idolatry. What is idolatry? That's to have idols. Idols are those things that are, that you put before God. That can be anything. Can be even your family, your job, your car, your money, your lack of money, the government. Anything you fear is your God. I remember when Brother Davy shared that nugget years ago. Anything you fear is your God. Witchcraft is that exertion or trying to manipulate people to do your will against their own. And that's a big part of what Sue was trying to do to me this weekend. Whether she recognized that or not, it was her trying to control me. And when you do that to other people, you are operating in a spirit of witchcraft. God is not going to bless that. And if you are a man over a wife and over children, and they try and do that to you, the worst thing you could do is give in to it. The absolute worst thing you could do is give them their way. The best thing you could do is stand in a place to bring that to the light and hold them accountable so that they change and get out of that situation. Because if you give in to them because you just don't want to hear the noise anymore, then you are also choosing yourself over God and have made yourself an idol. That may make for some tense moments, but rather tense moments here and deliverance and salvation in the Lord than eternity in hell. Pick your, what choice do you, make your choice. Stand for what is right. Do that which is right. Choose that which is right to do and let the Lord's Spirit move on them and soften their hearts and break them down so that they can see, if they will see, and let Him work on them. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Last week I was talking about absolutes. This week it looks like I'm talking about absolutes again. Last week was, if you have anything before God, you cannot be His disciple. Cannot. It's not that you're going to do a bad job at it. It's not that you're going to have difficulty trying. It's you cannot do it. And here we see another absolute. That they which do such things shall not, what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Do you want to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, you can't be here. You have to be in the next part. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What did we learn so much about in Timothy? Love. Everything comes from love. Jesus Christ is what? Love. Yeah, everything good comes from love. Everything that is right for us to do in the Lord comes from love. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, is love. The attributes of love are the following. Joy. How much joy have you had lately, Sue? See, joy is that thing that does not require external influence, okay? Happiness is a flesh thing. Happiness, people say, are you happy? Well, you know, I have joy. And it's a big difference because joy is an internal thing through love, through the Spirit of God, you have joy. Happiness is based on the external. See, that changes way too frequently. And people try and operate trying to be happy, trying to find happiness, etc. Look, man, that is a chase that will never end because you cannot satisfy the flesh. And happiness in that way is based on the flesh and it cannot be satisfied. But joy comes from the inside and it's not dependent on the circumstances. When we were broke down with no battery juice in the middle of Fishkill, New York at a light, it took me a minute to find joy, but I'm outside and, you know, in my pajamas and my hair's all screwed up in the middle. It's midnight and we got nothing, stuck in the middle of the road, towing a trailer and a, but we're out there goofing around having joy because we were half ignorant and didn't know better. But the other side of it is that we found joy in the Lord in the circumstance. And you know what? The Lord sent a single mom with her child at midnight coming home from church to take me to make the phone call to the tow company. I mean, it was just one miracle after another. You know, the potential to not have joy was high, quite high. Thank God He prevailed in that situation. But the joy we had was from the inside. It was from God's Spirit and the love that comes from that. Peace. you know, when you're not at war with God, it's much easier to have a conversation with him and to talk with him like he's not your enemy. That's not a, again, it's not a feelings-based thing. It's a cessation of war. It's a knowledge and understanding that you're not at war with God. And you know what's very cool is that you don't have to be at war with one another either. See, the fruit of the Spirit being peace is that if you're in the Spirit and I'm in the Spirit, where's the war? There shouldn't be any struggle. But if you're in the flesh and I'm in the Spirit, or you're in the Spirit and I'm in the flesh, then guess what? We are enemies. At that moment, we are enemies and there's no peace. But if we're all in the Spirit and we're operating in love, then there will be peace. There'll be the cessation of war. There won't be a your agenda, my agenda. There is God's agenda, and that's what we serve. In Corinthians, Paul tells them that they all speak the same thing, they mind the same thing, have the same judgment, that they be of one mind, be of one spirit. That's how family should be. That's how families in the Lord should be. If you go back again to Timothy, how is a deacon and a deaconess, how are they supposed to be with their family? Are they supposed to be at odds with one another? Are they supposed to be in unison, serving the Lord together? And if that's the case, where is their war? Where's their struggle? No, they're not enemies. They're fellow laborers in the gospel, serving God, and there is therefore peace. I look at households out there, and if there's a lack of peace, why? Because everybody's about their own thing. They're about their spouse making them feel good. And that goes both directions, and guys have a different agenda than ladies. They don't match, not even remotely. And when that's the case, there's not peace. You want peace? You want peace in your house? You want peace with your wife and with your children? Serve God. Teach them to serve God. You all serving God, there's peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is you suffer long. You don't take plan A, which is to take your office chair and smash everything in your sight. That's not long-suffering. That's a temper tantrum. That's a five-year-old slamming his feet and his fists on the floor, having a fit. That's not right. That's not being long-suffering. No, long-suffering. Look, I have through experience, I know, because it's happened many, many times, I know that Sue pulls out of this. Sometimes more quickly than others, but she does pull out, and it's a matter of her just getting a perspective. Give her, you know, a course correction, get her, she'll get a perspective, and then she'll go, crap, I did it again. Ricky, I'm sorry. And that's what happened. Well, praise God. Let's move on, man. Let's, you know, past is the past. We got stuff in front of us to do. Let's do it. Amen. But long suffering, God's long suffering with us. Let's be long-suffering with one another. And it's, yes, with one another, but as a person in authority, at least in my own house, if nowhere else, you have to have long-suffering towards those under you. And you know what? You'll have it naturally if you're walking in the Spirit. You'll have it naturally if you're in the Spirit, because it's one of the attributes of love. You see, pride, you won't have long suffering because it's contrary to self-preservation to suffer. It just doesn't want to suffer. It wants to make other people suffer. But no, if you're in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. One of the attributes of love is long suffering. It's going to be a natural occurring instance of love. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is a very simple admonition. And again, you know, this cursed flesh. I mean, remember Paul? Remember Romans 7 when he's saying, oh my God, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? What was he saying? I want to be free of this thing that's so contrary at absolutely every turn. It's contrary to what I want to do for God. It just is, it is a weight, a cursed thing that is just, I don't want it anymore. And he came to the realization that, you know what? It's in, it doesn't matter what this thing wants. It doesn't matter that feeling that comes up. That doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be satisfied. He says, I, with my mind, serve the law of God, which is what? Love. Love. My flesh will do its thing. It will serve the law of sin. It is going to be what it is, and I don't care. Because it doesn't matter anymore. If you've reckoned it dead, it doesn't matter what it flails and feels and wants. It doesn't matter. Paul says, I with my mind choose the law of God. And it's through Christ that we have that. It's His love in us. Now, mechanically, how does this work? Well, I was thinking of my brother Paul, who is going to be with the Lord. Mechanically, how does this work? Let's go to Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Who does the seeking? You do. You do. You choose to seek God. Doesn't matter what your flesh feels. Doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. You choose to seek God. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of this earth, on the earth. Your affection is that which you hold dear. What do you hold dear? Do you hold the things of God dear, or do you hold the things of this earth dear? If you hold the things of this earth dear, then you have changed your perspective and have taken it off God, put it on this world, and you are serving the wrong master. No, set your affections. Who sets the affections? You set your affections. It's your choice. Paul says, I then choose with my mind serve the law of God. How does he do that? Through Jesus. How are you going to set your affections on things above? Through Jesus. And there's all kinds of scriptures coming to mind now. We've got only a few minutes left, but I've just got a flood of scriptures coming to mind about the goodness of God and how it's absolutely worth it to set our affections on things above. Because the things of this earth are rubbish. Absolute garbage. Oh, they may provide happiness or a good feeling for a period of time, but they are not sustainable. They don't last. They don't fulfill. They don't satisfy. Oh, they lie about being satisfying. They lie about fulfilling. I've never been a drug addict, but I understand that the next time is never like the first time, and you're always hunting for that next greatest high. I mean, that's what I've been told. And the lure of this world is the same. It's not satisfying. It lies to you. It tells you it's going to give you all that you ever dreamed for, all you ever wished. And it's the only way that you can really be happy. And it's an absolute lie. But if you set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. What does that mean, mortify? Kill. Right? Who does it? These are all choices you make. You want to talk about a functional list of what to do? These are it. And it's about your choices you make. Exercising of your free will to choose God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedient, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is a work in progress. It is for me. It's a work in progress. As the Lord shows me, see, that's what I've been telling you. You got to put that off. Okay, Lord. You're right. Put that off. It's a work in progress for me. I bet it's probably a work in progress for you too. But the benefit is what? Inheriting the kingdom of God. Walking in the power of God. Fellowship, communion with God. That seems worth it. Now I want to go to where I started this morning. Do you remember what that was? TPW syndrome. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll go to verse 9. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. TPW. And is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. The draw of this present world will pull you away from the path of God if you let it. That's why we're told to set our affections on the things that are above. That's why we're told to put our eyes on Jesus. Because the things of this world, if you pay them attention. What is wrong, Naomi? Well, you're going to have to just hold it. The things of this world will pull you away. They are designed 1,000% to derail you from your walk with God. That's why it's so important to fully and completely put your eyes on Jesus, put your trust in Jesus, and operate there. If these guys that, I mean, we have Titus. There's a book in the Bible written to Titus, a minister of Paul's in the New Testament church, and we see an example of Titus going the wrong direction. What was his end? I don't know. But right here, it doesn't look like he's in a good space. These other guys don't look like they're in a good space. Why? Because they loved this present world. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. You can't do it.